FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
Good to be with you.
What made you do that?
Well, Neil, I was frustrated. If you look at the footage, I was had admonished both sides during this process. My goal was to get through this without adding any more tumult, without adding any more hostilities.
That is Congressman Emanuel Cleaver from the KC side of the state talking about dropping the gavel in the House the other day. We've got Congresswoman Ann Wagner from the 2nd Congressional District on the phone right now. Ann, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning. It was definitely high drama 2 days ago. My goodness.
What about those theatrics? I mean, my point was none of that would have happened if Nancy Pelosi hadn't tried to force that sham of a vote to begin with.
That's correct. Let's not forget that she absolutely broke with precedent in the House rules that you cannot impugn the president in any such manner. The name of the resolution impugned the president and broke House rules. And frankly, Emanuel Cleaver, who is a reverend from the Kansas City side of the state, is a good man. Yeah, he'd had enough. He didn't he lectured both sides of the chamber, threw down the gavel and said, I quote, I abandon the chair. And that chair remained empty, Mark, for well over an hour while they could find some Democrat somewhere that would come back and actually read the words of the parliamentarian, which were very clear that Nancy Pelosi was admonished for her words on the House floor calling the president a racist. They found finally the majority leader, Steny Hoyer, who does not have a terrific relationship, I can tell you, with Nancy Pelosi, and he ruled her out of order. I went down there. I don't know if anybody even turns this stuff on, but I was down there on the House floor with a copy of Jefferson's Manual. I turned it to page 190. This is a parliamentarian rules, practice, procedures book. It's very clear. It goes back to 1801. Jefferson wrote the first one. The big, thick book that's been compiled and froze the House while they figured out what they were going to do about this mess.
Wow. Well, I don't know. Beyond that, they were busy doing all kinds of other crazy things, like taking an impeachment vote, of which we should point out nearly 100 Democrats in the House supported, and then of course voting to. Against Barr, right, and Wilbur Ross,
and
held him in contempt.
The Attorney General and Secretary Ross last night. So it's in between impeachment votes that have gone down 332-95. So let's be very clear. Now the same 95 that voted to impeach also voted the week before. The squad, AOC plus three, led by her, those 95 that she owns, they also voted not to send the $5 billion in humanitarian assistance down to the border, yet they hightail it down there and talk about the crisis that they actually have continued. I'm just tired of it. It's impeachment, it's contempt, it's weaponizing poor children at the border and illegal migration instead of solving our immigration problems through asylum laws. Now, these Democrats, they need to be held accountable for socialist policies and, frankly, I think seemingly outright contempt for the ideals on which America was founded. We can disagree with one another on policy without, frankly, resorting to name-calling. I don't like the lack of civility or respect or decorum, but they need to be held accountable. They are putting forward things that are dangerous, they're reckless, they will make us less safe, less prosperous, and less free, and we've got to really pivot and begin to talk about those specific issues and policies, I believe.
And what about this dust-up with the squad? It strikes me that these four congresswomen, your colleagues up there, are trying to make this about race because they consistently refer to themselves as women of color. I think it's more about policy. What's your take on you clearly deal with the four of them.
You bet. And they're on both of my committees, both financial services. And I've got three on the committee and one on affairs. And they've fomented this internal strife. They are the voice and the face of the Democrat Party here in Congress. They have sucked all the oxygen out of the room. They are in fighting with Nancy Pelosi and the rest of their Democrat conference on a continual basis, and lurching the entire conference to the left, and frankly, are weaponizing things like, as I said, our immigration policy,
right.
Children at the border, race baiting, things that are not okay. I mean, if they had it their way, this group has voted for full-on taxpayer-funded campaigns, letting 16-year-olds and felons vote, $93 trillion Green New Deal, socialized medicine. It would take away the health care of 77% of my district's employer-based health care. Amnesty for millions. I mean, decriminalizing illegals, the hundreds of thousands that are coming across our border on a monthly basis. I mean, it's free tuition, it's free student loans. It's, as I said, this tremendous economy that this president has brought along, the jobs, that kind of safety and security. They're going to roll that back. They are making us less safe.
Right.
And frankly, less free. I mean, socialism, the nanny state, is not who we are. So I'm going to call them out on those things, and I'm going to focus my efforts there.
Well, good. And it's great to get you on. I know we're short on time this morning, but I do want to get you on maybe next week and talk more about this Secure Act, which I have been texting with you about, and also the Paid Family Leave Act.
I absolutely want to do that.
Okay.
I look forward to that. Let's try to get down the books next week. I'll also be back in August for a period of time. So it's just great to be on with your listeners. Thanks for what you're doing to add voice to this and to be the truth squad about what's important here, which at the end of the day is the policies.
I appreciate it. Ann Wagner, thanks so much.
Get more at 971talk.com.